Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello, everybody. We begin today in the streets, crosswalks, and bike lanes of Manhattan and inner Brooklyn, where new statistics about injuries to pedestrians and cyclists are out thanks to an NYU study of 1,400 accident victims treated at Bellevue. What do we learn? Let's dig into the numbers with Matt Fliegenheimer, who wrote this up for the New York Times, and Charles Komanoff, who interpreted the data on Streets Blog, which often advocates for pedestrian and bicycle-friendly streets. He is a transport economist, director of the Carbon Tax Center, and wrote a book in the 90s called Killed by an Automobile. So, Charles, welcome back, and Matt, welcome to WNYC.
Hey, Brian.
Matt, big picture first. These 1,400 traffic accident victims were all treated at Bellevue between 2008 and 2011. That would mean this sample is of accident victims on Manhattan's east side and western Brooklyn. And for the record, injured drivers were not included, and neither were the 15 pedestrians and three cyclists who had died at Bellevue after being struck during those 3 years. So what were the researchers specifically looking for?
I think they were really drawn to this area. For one, obviously, Bellevue is their sort of purview here, but also because it really is along the sort of busiest stretch of Manhattan and parts of kind of northern and northwestern Brooklyn. That's where a lot of their patients come from. So I think they were hoping to do a study that was really patient-based, and they're actually gathering information from patients who are self-reporting in a way that the city, which has looked often at traffic flow and areas where accidents occur, but hasn't necessarily focused as exclusively on the attributes of the patients themselves as they come into the hospital.
So let's look at some of the specific findings and what we can learn. Your article yesterday was headlined, "Crosswalks in New York are not havens," study finds. What's the crosswalks angle?
So the crosswalks, they found actually 44% of pedestrians who were hit were crossing in a crosswalk with the signal on their side, compared to about 23% who were crossing mid-block, about 9% crossing against the signal. And I think a real point that Charlie raised actually in his piece is worthwhile. Certainly more than 44% of people, we can presume, are crossing in a crosswalk. The takeaway is not that crossing in a crosswalk is the wrong thing to do. It is more that I think really crossing anywhere can be dangerous. In this case, we found that about two-thirds of those who were hit by a turning vehicle who presumably had the light as well. So I think a lot of those crosswalk cases, you're seeing somebody making the turn and not yielding to the pedestrian.
And Charles, your article on Streets Blog said, amen, your word, to that Times headline on crosswalks not being a haven. What's the lesson you take from that particular chilling stat?
Well, not as much as you might think, Brian. I think for those of us who've been involved in this issue of endangerment of pedestrians in New York City for a long time, the NYU study, it's well-meaning, but it's kind of a big yawn. There are, I guess, three problems with it. There's the selection bias issue where, we can pass on that and focus on, well, I guess, what Sherlock Holmes would call the problem of the missing denominator. And Matt touched on this just now as well. If we don't know the overall percentages of people crossing in crosswalks versus mid-block, if we don't know the makeup of drivers, how many are taxi drivers, how many are vans, trucks, private cars, et cetera, then we have no control, we have no background, and we can't evaluate.
Well, but I wonder if that's really true. Charles, my reaction to it was if 44% of the pedestrians struck by cars in this sample, which is basically east side of Manhattan and western Brooklyn, if they were struck by cars, 44% of them who were injured by cars were injured in the crosswalk, then that still indicates to me the crosswalks are not the havens that you would think they would be.
Well, sorry, Brian, you're absolutely right. And the headline was right on, as I pointed out on Streets Fog. I guess I'm a little bit jaded on this because 15 years ago, we published a volume, Killed by Automobile, which documented exactly what was in the Times headline, that turning vehicles, striking pedestrians in the crosswalk, was the most frequent way in which pedestrians were killed in New York City.
Your data confirmed yet again. Let's take another piece of it. Matt, taxis. You report that the study found 25% of the pedestrians injured by cars were hit by taxis, but 40% of the injured bicyclists were hit by taxis.
That's right.
Why the difference? Do they give any indication?
Sure. The authors point to what they call the sort of periphery of the streets. Often cyclists and cab drivers who are looking either for their next fare or to drop somebody off on the curbside are really dealing in that same sort of side area of the roadway. Again, you know, we've asked the TLC actually for a number on what percentage of taxi drivers make up the city's drivers overall to see whether this is sort of disproportionately something that can be laid at the feet of taxi drivers. At the same time, we can see, as you said, 40% of taxi drivers – I'm sorry, 40% of cyclists are being hit by taxi drivers, and only a quarter of pedestrians who are injured were hit by cabs.
I've heard, Charles, that it's about – or I read, was it in your piece, forgive me, that about 40% of the drivers in Manhattan below 96th Street or in that Bellevue catchment area probably are taxi drivers, yes?
Yeah, so you could, your takeaway could be that bicyclists have no more to fear from taxis than they do from other vehicles, and that pedestrians actually have less.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's the missing denominator problem. But the other defect in the study, and look, you know, one study is not necessarily going to do everything, but we've really got to keep the focus on driver behaviors. What is it that causes drivers to turn into pedestrians who are crossing legally with the right-of-way in crosswalks? What is it that causes drivers to climb up and mount sidewalks and kill New Yorkers on the sidewalk, as has been happening at a virtually epidemic rate?
So, Charles, let me follow up on that. To go back to the original stat about the 44% of pedestrian injuries taking place in crosswalks. Do you have any policy recommendation to make to reduce that number?
Well, you know, the missing agent in New York City traffic safety is not the DOT, which has been pretty heroic and visionary in trying to carve out space and redesign streets and boulevards so that they're not just for one mode, the drivers, but multimodal. The missing agent is the NYPD, and there is an absolute dearth of enforcement by the NYPD on driver behaviors that endanger pedestrians, cyclists, and in fact, other drivers. And then when you couple that with a criminal justice system and the DAs of the five boroughs who seem to be you know, just bored with or fatigued with the idea of prosecuting drivers who have killed pedestrians and cyclists, that is the underlying problem that we have that creates the endangerment on the street.
Here is Amy in Manhattan calling in, who said she was hit by a car while in a crosswalk this year. Amy, I'm so sorry. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Hi. Yes, I was crossing the street in the crosswalk, and it was a taxi who came from the opposite direction, so he also had the light, although the light was just starting to change, and I think he might have been trying to get through, you know, make his right turn before he lost the green light.
Do you chalk it up to impatience on the part of the driver who's supposed to wait for pedestrians and yield the right of way?
Yeah, you know, I can't say what was in the driver's mind. It's what comes to my mind.
Right. Amy, thank you, and I hope you recover. Longtime caller to the show, Amy in Manhattan, and I hope you're okay after that accident, really. McCool, a taxi driver in Manhattan. Hi, McCool. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just want to share my observation that while I drive, I get shipped 12 hours a day. I find, actually, most of the drivers, if not all, I mean, more than 50% drivers are impatient on the turning. At the same time,
Sorry, I didn't quite get that. Did you say that you find most drivers are too impatient on the turns?
I can see half-half. I mean, it's my observation. But my comment is a little bit longer. Then also, the crosswalk divided by two is one is white for the pedestrian to walk. Other one is flashing light. So at the flashing light, I also see the pedestrians also, they don't yield to the drivers also.
Right. Oh, that's really interesting. Charles, I wonder what you think about that as kind of a policy recommendation. He's talking about there needing, if I understand him correctly, that there needs to be a gap between the walk light, and I see this at some intersections, but very few intersections, between the walk light and the green light for the drivers who might make that right turn.
Well, you know, it sounds good. It sounds like something that could be tested easily enough, and why not? But, you know, the bigger solution lies in a combination of reduced traffic volumes and serious sanction against drivers who engage in pedestrian endangering behaviors.
And Matt from the New York Times, let me get back to your article. You also got into some of the personal behavior risks implied by the study of pedestrians and bicyclists injured in street accidents. Like what behaviors, most importantly, did these NYU researchers document?
Well, again, we do want to be careful because when they say something like, 8% of, I believe it was pedestrians and cyclists both self-reported that they were using either some sort of musical device, a cell phone, something handheld, that might track reasonably closely with the percentage of people at any point in the city who are using electronic devices as they walk around. So to imply that it's something that leads to an injury is not something the researchers were ready to do. They wanted to just sort of sketch out exactly what was happening with those who were injured. So that was one thing they pointed to. About 15% of pedestrians and 11% of cyclists were found to have alcohol in their system. For cyclists, there was the issue of wearing a helmet. About 30% were found to be wearing helmets only of those who were injured. And the city has obviously walked sort of a careful line on this, and Charlie can probably speak to this as well.
So, Charlie, I know you're mostly interested in policy, and you want the kinds of laws and the kinds of enforcement you've been talking about. But is there also a message to individuals on bicycles and on foot? I mean, maybe it's just too obvious to even say it. If you're riding your bike or if you're crossing the street, that's not the time to be using an electronic device.
Well, certainly. I've been riding a bike every day in New York City for 40 years, and I don't think I've, worn headphones more than once a long time ago. You've got to be incredibly alert. And, on a bike, it's fine to require people to be incredibly alert. I don't think we should impose that burden on pedestrians. I'm not saying that pedestrians should just, sort of be allowed to do anything heedless of everybody else, but there's something to be said for sauntering, for strolling, for conversing, for observing, for watching, even for daydreaming. And it's just wrong from an urban perspective, and I think from a moral perspective, to require pedestrians to have the same degree of alertness that we require for bicyclists and especially for drivers.
And Charles, you poke the Bloomberg administration in your Streets blog piece for not releasing other stats that you say they have on street safety. What are those?
Well, these are not stats, Brian, but thanks for bringing this up. Every traffic fatality in New York City and supposedly serious or critical injury accidents, although that's been honored more in the breach, is supposed to be fully investigated by a crack team of NYPD investigators known as the Collision Investigation Squad. And I've seen a few of these reports over the years. They're really hard to get hold of. They're kept, under lock and key. And these consist of serious, detailed accident reconstructions or crash reconstructions so that one gets a sense from these reports who did what, who was responsible for creating the collision. And from these reports, if the public could sift them, if public health experts could sift them, if advocates could sift them, we could begin to understand the driving behaviors that are creating endangerment on the streets of our city. And unfortunately, they're kept locked up.
And as a final thought, Matt, you do refer in your piece in the Times to significant reductions in street accident injuries under this mayor. Do you know the record?
That's right. The record is that this past year there were 274 traffic fatalities. This is not just pedestrians, but drivers as well, and cyclists and motorcyclists, which was the highest in a few years, but still drastically lower than it was a decade ago. They've really touted this as sort of a defining legacy of Bloomberg's transportation policy, having the reduction in injuries, fatalities, and they've pointed to traffic calming like bike lanes, pedestrian plazas as the reasons for this in a lot of cases.
By the way, did the study indicate, and I didn't see it in either of your pieces, so I don't know, that some of these 1,400 pedestrian or cyclist injuries were injured by riding cyclists as opposed to cars? Were any of these bicycle on pedestrian injuries? Matt, do you know?
I believe the focus here was on cars exclusively.
So it wasn't even asking that question.
No, and actually an interesting stat that advocates point to often is that I believe it's been 3 years since a cyclist struck a pedestrian and killed a pedestrian in New York City.
And many bikers.
Roughly for every 500 pedestrians killed by a driver, there's one killed by a bicyclist.
Thank you both. Charles Kolmanoff, who interpreted this NYU study data on Streets blog. He's also the director of the Carbon Tax Center and wrote a book in the 90s called Killed by an Automobile. And Matt Fliegenheimer wrote the study up for the New York Times. Thank you both so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Coming up next, the bullying Rutgers basketball coach resigns. But how much is high school and college coaching a culture of bullying? We'll take your calls and talk to sports columnist Will Leach. We'll also follow up with him on that horrific Kevin Ware injury and even some policy questions raised by that. Stay with us.